This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
Hey, we're back, and it's our privilege to have in studio a guy that's pretty busy, and he found some time to come to New York and be here. So if you're watching the stream on Fox Nation, go ahead and pop it in. Congressman Tom Emmer's here. He's the House Majority Whip, and what a job he has. I mean, when you talk about a slim majority, you cannot, there's almost no margin for error. And that's what's on his plate on a daily basis out of Minnesota. Congressman, it's kind of, I was going to apologize for how cold it was here this week in New York, but you don't care.
This is
like tank top weather for you.
It's beautiful. I walked over here. It's awesome.
Right. Yeah, which is good. I mean, a little bit earlier. But are you used to it? I mean, is Minnesota as cold as they say?
Well, for me, it hasn't been. We've had two wimpy winters in a row. But yes, we'll have a stretch in the past few years, with the exception of the last two, where you get to, I remember, it was raining on Christmas Day. This is within the last 5 years. And for the next 6 to 8 weeks, the temperature was somewhere around 20 below. I mean, it just stayed there, right? And everybody's thinking, oh, it's global warming. We're not going to have this. And then, boom, it's so cold that your tires will freeze where they sit. So when you start driving the next morning, it'll be a little bit of the thump thump until it warms up. And
wow. I mean, that's incredible. I remember during the Super Bowl that you guys hosted, they would tell our reporters, you cannot take off your gloves, whatever you do. No. So, and you got to cover your face or whatever. But you guys are tough by nature. So it's great to see you. Did anything surprise you about the final tally? I talked to you in the morning before the final vote on the CR that you got back from the Senate. Tom Massey didn't vote for it, but you lost Greg Stube, too.
Well, and I never had a chance to talk to Greg. We tried, but Greg was part of a larger group that we ran into a problem that we didn't expect. And you may not be surprised to know that the Senate snuck a provision in when they did it. At the night they did it, they put in a provision which on its face made sense to clarify a certain Senate statute that applies to senators when you are taking records or getting a subpoena. There's a statute that, as I understand it, says the senators are supposed to be notified. And as we know, Jack Smith, in his Arctic Frost investigation, I think it's 8 senators went and got their phone records without their knowledge.
We just found out Kevin McCarthy, too.
Okay, well, the House doesn't have these protections because it was also Mike Kelly. But there is a statute that actually is supposed to protect senators from the standpoint they're supposed to get notice even when there's a subpoena. Well, they clarified that statute because apparently it wasn't clear if it applies to cell phones, other things. So they did that. But then, Brian, they put a private cause of action in it and said damages not less than $500,000 per occurrence. We almost had a complete jailbreak over that. Our guys were so frustrated by that because it looks bad. Two, I'm not sure why they think they're going to get $500,000 dollars or more for this. But think about this. The frustration in the House, which is kind of a lunch pail, blue-collar institution compared to the silk stockings in the Senate. Jack Smith didn't just go after members of Congress. He was serving subpoenas on American citizens American organizations outside of Congress. Why is it that people in elected office are entitled to greater protection than people that he was attacking?
Bad message and an unnecessary message.
And we're going to fix it. But that, I think,
That's how you lost him.
Right.
So it did pass. You got a few Democrats to cross over. Tom Massey just on another planet. He's got a personal problem with the president of the United States. So we'll see what happens, where we go from here. People keep saying, well, didn't you just postpone the next shutdown that's going to happen January 30th? And I thought one way to solve that would be to get your appropriations bills done. Get everything done ahead of time. You don't have anything to negotiate, right?
That is exactly right. And I, you know, people, it's mostly the media. And God bless you, Brian Kilmeade, for recognizing that this is about getting back to a regular order appropriations process. It's not about, oh, we're going to report. You just have the next shutdown on January 30th. No. What we were doing in September was getting back to this regular order appropriations. There were three bills, and now you've seen them because they came across with the same CR that we had sent them on the 19th, with the exception of that January date now.
Yeah.
Those three bills, they were ready to close them back in September. I'm told there's another six, up to six right now, that are that close.
On the House side to get to the Senate, or the
House
Senate?
House and the Senate. Okay. The House passed all 12 out of our Appropriations Committee. We passed a handful off the House floor. But you'll remember, it's probably old news now, at the beginning of September, both the House and the Senate made motions on their respective floors to go to conference on those first three. So these conference, the communications between Republicans and Democrats in the House and the Senate have been going on since September, Brian. We get those, appropriations chair in the House, Tom Cole from Oklahoma, who, I mean, you can set your watch to Tom. He believes that he can get 10 of the 12 done in short order, and it'll come down to, for instance, the defense appropriations bill and the labor housing bill.
So let me ask you, did the Democrats, I know for the longest time when you guys were in the minority, you felt like you had no voice in those committees. Do they speak up? Do you guys work together when they're in committee, or do they have a role?
If you are a reasonable left-of-center Democrat who wants to govern, and there are some, right? You had six that crossed over to open the government in the House the other night.
Tom Suozzi, Jared Golden.
Yeah, I mean, you got people who want to do that kind of work. And there's more than that, by the way. There are just others that feared their violent left, I think, more than these guys. Yes, people work together, believe it or not, to get these things out of committee, to get them across the House floor. And now that they're doing conferences, you know, that formal conference committee, Brian, I was told that hadn't happened since 2019.
How crazy is that?
It's just there are good things happening.
But I think that with your role, too, because that's your job, I think that you should be doing a lot of that defining. Like, there's a lot of people, they're very smart people. They just have no idea, like, the political interwork. They haven't taken American government since 11th grade. Just say, guys, here's the goal. The goal is to hash it out in committee. The minority has a voice. We get that bill forward. We meet in a conference. We haven't done it yet. And I wonder, too, because I know you stayed so late to do the big, beautiful bill, but did anyone consider working through August? I know you guys can't do this and stay away from your families. Everyone's got vacation. But I knew that Chuck Schumer couldn't possibly keep his job if he didn't refuse to do your CR after the blowback he got in March.
Yeah.
So that was happening unless this was done. Did you guys discuss that at all, staying in August?
Oh, there was definitely discussion. And the issue, though, and it happens every time you run into this impasse and you're getting to the end of July, the issue is the calendar is set. Like, in the next 2-3 weeks, we will all get a calendar that Steve Scalise, the majority leader, and before that it would have been Steny Hoyer, they will publish a calendar for the next year. And the closer you get to that August date, the harder it's going to be for you to change that,
okay,
because people are setting. But reality, and this is just one man's opinion, not the whip's opinion, because this is as a member, you should change that. We should do something about the August recess. It's in the wrong place. And by the way, you should also think about changing the September 30th funding deadline. Put it on a regular year schedule,
right,
like most businesses are.
I did not know that we weren't shutting down the government until 1978. Do you see a way the Congress can function without giving either side that shutdown option? Can you put that into language? Because it really hurts people that have no business being hurt. Like for example, the airline industry, like, for example, TSA, air traffic controllers, 1.4 million federal workers, and your staff. Is it possible, or you don't think that's ever going to happen?
Well, first off, I'm going to put it in these terms. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks because I get asked, who won the shutdown? Nobody wins shutdowns. Yeah. And Democrats who did this time should have read the book because Republicans wrote the darn book on shutdowns. You cannot leverage your policy agenda from the minority by shutting down the federal government. It never works because of what you just said. You are harming everybody that has no there's no reason to harm 42 million low-income Americans who rely on SNAP. Yes. There's no reason to shut down the airspace because our air traffic controllers aren't getting paid and TSA and our Capitol Police, et cetera. But I'm a little different. I believe we're going to have to grow up again. You've already said you got a lot of people who are very smart people, but they haven't studied civics, American civics, or how it works since the 11th grade. We've got a lot of people coming into Congress that are going to have to learn very quickly, and the American public's going to have to hold them accountable, how the art of constitutional governance is supposed to work.
Yeah.
This is what has been lost over the last 30 years as we have gone farther and farther apart.
And then you do an omnibus, you just fund it, we don't know what's in it.
It's a joke.
And then there's Christmas.
Yeah.
And we go, what's in this? And Trump said the first time, what the hell is going on here, basically? I'm new to this. I'll never sign this again.
Yeah.
So you're trying never to give him another omnibus, and I think that's great.
What if your home security could stop a break-in before it even begins? That's not science fiction. That's SimpliSafe. And right now, their early access Black Friday sale is changing how we think about protection. Traditional systems wait until someone's already breaking in. SimpliSafe's Active Guard outdoor protection, powered by AI, detects threats before they reach your door. Real security agents jump in instantly, confronting intruders, letting them know they are on camera and the police are on their way. And if needed, setting off sirens and spotlights. It's proactive protection that stops crime before it happens. And here's the best part. No long-term contracts, no hidden fees, and you can cancel anytime. It's been named Best Home Security System by U.S. News & World Report for 5 years straight. And with a 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try completely risk-free. So, if home safety's been on your mind, this is your moment. Right now, my listeners can take advantage of their biggest sale of the year with this exclusive early access to SimpliSafe's Black Friday sale. And save 60% on any new system by going to simplisafe.com/Brian. There will never be a better time to get real security for your home. Go to simplisafe.com/Brian. Stay protected and stay one step ahead with SimpliSafe. Every day, America's first responders stand ready. Firefighters, law enforcement, paramedics, doctors, dispatchers, and people who put themselves on the line for public safety. But keeping them connected in moments of crisis has not been easy. That's why Congress authorized a nationwide network for public safety. Today, that promise is fulfilled through FirstNet. It's the only nationwide network built with and for first responders. So whether it's a big city, rural town, or remote tribal community, FirstNet helps ensure no call for help goes unanswered. It gives first responders priority access, never throttles their communications in the U.S., helping them to connect across agencies when it matters most. This isn't just a network. It's a lifeline, a bipartisan commitment to America's public safety built to serve those who serve us all. FirstNet is the backbone of our nation's emergency response and will continue to be in the future. FirstNet, built with AT&T. Learn more on firstnet.com/public safety first.
I want you to hear what AOC said that she finds that Republicans are saying to her. Cut 28. I'm sorry, cut 20.
I fully welcome Trump voters into our coalition. And I know that sounds crazy to some people, but just hear me out. I cannot tell you. It just happened to me like 2 weeks ago. I can't tell you how many times someone has pulled me aside and said either I was once a big Trump voter and a Trump supporter and I watched Fox News every day, but then I started to kind of expand my world and where I got information. And now I've learned and now I've changed and I'm with you and I learn from you.
So that's what she's experienced in Rayo Bay. She wanted to say that MAGA people wanted to try socialism. So the chances of these people really sincere, number one, that they exist, or number two, that they're saying that. I could see MAGA people saying, you know, I like this about Trump. I don't like that about Trump. I could see that. But I never thought AOC was an option. What about you, Tom Emmer?
Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is smoking crack. because she's not telling you. That is not happening. I'm sorry. She lives in a fairy tale world that money grows on trees, and she and Bernie Sanders et al. And now this Marxist communist.
Mamdani.
Yeah, this guy is crazy. These guys are not living in reality. There is a reason why 77 million Americans voted for Donald Trump. Do they all love our president's pugnacious behavior? No, but they recognize the ideas we're talking about, which is individual freedom, economic liberty, safety and security, a country that's a country because you got a secure border, and getting the worst of the worst, the murderers, the human traffickers, those that have committed sexual assault, getting them the heck out of our country, Brian. That's what Americans are excited about. And Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is probably like all these other delusional Dems, socialist, communist, whatever, that think that the Tuesday night a week ago, or whenever the elections were in Virginia and New York City, right, and in New Jersey, they somehow are trying to spin that as a big win for themselves, when in fact they won where they were supposed to win. And Jack Cittarelli, he had gubernatorial turnout. Trump's not on the ballot, and he got 100,000 more votes than he got with Trump on the ballot, or right, the last time he ran.
But do you also agree that affordability is a message that you want to take away from that?
I would love to have affordability be the message, because that's where it's going to work.
And I think the president gets that with affordability on mortgages and other things.
Yes.
I don't know what legislation would do, but we just got to find a way to unfreeze the market while we wait for rates to come down. If Tom Emmer has a 3.5% mortgage and you want to get a bigger house, it doesn't make financial sense for you to go to a 6% mortgage and make that move. So no one's making that move. Therefore, we don't have the starter homes available to the next generation. This is the economic theory we're hearing.
Yeah, well, the affordability is going to be the issue. I love the fact that Donald Trump thinks outside of the box. I mean, talking about a 50-year mortgage, why not?
Right.
I mean, there have to be creative solutions.
Get in the game.
And by the way, the Fed has got to wake up soon, because the current Fed chair has been slow to act all through this thing.
And now he's indicating he's not going to cut. And that's why the market's taking a hit.
It's petty. It's petty. And I know that the president has looked at this and been very vocal about it. It'll change by the spring. And guess what, Brian? We passed that bill with the largest middle class tax cut in the history of this country, largest cut in spending in the history of this country, and permanent tax policy that told the money that was sitting on the sidelines last July, you now know how you're going to be treated, started in January of 26.
Because we don't know what the big, beautiful bill does yet, because it's not there. It's passed, but now it's not going to be.
But it's coming.
Your governor is a piece of work, Tim Walz. Listen to what he said yesterday, Cut 23.
Because I had spent some time in China. I taught in China. You might have heard that last fall. God forbid your vice president would like know China and could speak a little Chinese. You know, that would be a horrible thing to have happen now, to actually understand China. But Gwen always joked and said, Tim, you did your Peace Corps time in China. I'm doing mine in Nebraska. Let's move back to Minnesota. And so she moved us to Mankato, Minnesota, where her family's from. And we started teaching school there.
Why is he so comfortable in China?
Because Mao Zedong and Xi, their policies, the Chinese Communist Party, agree with Tim Walz. I wish he would have stayed living there. It would have fit him much better. He is an embarrassment.
How does he keep getting reelected?
Well, if you want me to go into the mechanics, the problem is 87 counties in Minnesota. His last reelect, he got 52% of the vote. He only won 13 counties, the 13 metro. The 74 that he lost, which includes his former congressional district, Brian, he got 37% of the vote. He is not a well-liked man. In the 13-county metro, I would argue it has a lot to do with some discrepancies when we go through our campaign process. But more importantly, it's the corrupt media that never holds this man accountable for $2 billion in fraud under his administration. I mean, this is insane. Mm-hmm. If you see how it's mismanaged, he took a $18 billion surplus and in a span of a year has put us on, or 2 years, has put us on a trajectory for a $5 to $6 billion shortfall.
It's Will Kane Country. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday at foxnews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.